Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And we ended the first hour talking about the exalted Lord and how we needed to decrease, just like John the Baptist said, and God must increase in our life. And if we do that by us decreasing, we give God the opportunity to increase, his character to be developed. And when we're talking about decreasing, is the decreasing and the killing off of our flesh, of the stuff that gets in the way, of the stuff that gets in the way of Jesus being magnified. You know, I love what Francis Assisi said. It's just an amazing reminder to us all that he said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words. It means live a life on the exterior, right? That proves, that shows, that bears fruit that Jesus lives on the inside, and Jesus lives on the inside of each one of us, right? And sometimes, and really oftentimes, the only Jesus that people are going to see is the Jesus that lives inside of us.
That's right.
You know, it's we are his hands, we are his feet, and many, many people will be drawn when we say, Lord, it's not about us, it's not about me, it's not about anything else that I've mixed you and tied you with. It is all about you. And so I refuse to bring myself up, but I want my life to glorify you in such a way that all people see is just Jesus, the love of God. And I tell you, as we exalt him, as Jesus becomes lifted high, people will be drawn to know him and to love him and to surrender their life for him. The exalted Lord. Well, you know, we're getting ready to share with you a really powerful segment. And you know, we had a recent election, but believe it or not, it's like only maybe 3 months ago that we had this election. Time just flies. It's only been 3 months, only been maybe 90 days that we've reelected, the country has, President Barack Obama. And it's so important that we understand as a people, as a nation, what's going on, and to see how things unfold. You know, the title of today's highlight we want to share with you is what happens when we choose government over God. It's very, very important because we're going to learn what the Israelites did in the Bible. We're going to learn, we're going to experience, we're going to see firsthand what happened when they chose government over choosing God. Let me tell you something. We don't want to get on that slippery slope. I believe that the nation has already started, but we want to hear. We want to hear and get wisdom to move forward and to allow God to be exalted. Listen up.
Well, you're listening to VFN Radio, and I wanted to talk a little bit of this morning in the extra hour, or this afternoon or this evening, is, you know, God's news behind the news. When you're looking at the decision that was made in this last election, you know, America made a decision. Realize there is no us and them. There's just us. It's Americans. We're Americans. Mm-hmm. And so often people think about, you know, political parties, and they think, well, that's not me. I'm not that. I'm this political party. It's like, well, no, you're an American. You know, this is all of us. That's why whoever gets in power, they make laws that you have to follow. Why? Because we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in regards to the church, we're in it but not of it. And we're walking under the Lord, but if you're in America, you're an American. And what was said, not anything about it. People say there was a mandate. Well, actually, half of America said, a little bit more than half said, they wanted to go with this president, current president that was in office, President Barack Obama, and almost half didn't. And it's amazing how they just made this big deal about somebody wins by sweep. It's like, no, look, it's like 50-50. It's like split. When you're talking about 300-something million people and you have, you know, a few thousand votes between you, I mean, come on now. I mean, if it's like 75% of America's behind you, 25%, now that's more of a sweeping thing. But it's amazing what they call sweeping. I always look with a magnifying glass going, sweeping? How could you win by one percentage point and they call that sweeping? You know, this is amazing. Right. But either way, the majority of us Americans, you know, chose big government. Chose big government. And it reminds me of exactly, this has always been the weakness of our humanity, where we start looking when things aren't going right, we start thinking of other ways to be able to do things. And I think about Israel, when Israel was up under God's authority, you know, I'm looking at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and what was going on? You have to understand that Samuel was doing a great job. He was doing a great job. And that was God's form of government, you know, moving prophetically and apostolically, and everybody enjoyed that. But what happens, there comes a time that every man's life is, it comes to an end, or their abilities come to, they can't do everything. And so all of a sudden, Samuel's sons got in power, and he put them as judges to help out around that. Well, the sons didn't carry on like Samuel did. They had a bad form of leadership. And sometimes we have a tendency when we have judges that aren't doing right, and we have, you know, church leaders that aren't doing right, and different things, we have a tendency to say, hey, you know, we just want to step outside of what God said, and we want to fix this thing by having some secular form of leadership. You know, we'll fix this kind of thing. And so they were having bad leadership at that time, because Samuel's sons were not doing as Samuel did. But the thing is that God will deal with leadership. If we'll hang in there and realize that he will deal with leadership, we're not supposed to leave God's form of government. But they did. They just said, listen, you know, they were just very, you know, dogmatic about saying, listen, the sons that you're appointed, you know, we're not leading our nation right. And he says, okay. And they said, give us a king to lead us, because they're looking at everybody else out there in the world. And they say, you know, we want, look, they got a socialistic form of government, and they're taking care of all these things for them. You know, why do we need God to take care of them if we just have government to take care of them? You know, and you understand that there was a bad form of God's people and leadership at that time. And so that's what provoked them to start thinking about this. And so we never want to leave God's form of leadership. And we learn from that. And so the Lord told them very specifically, told Samuel, because Samuel's talking to God about this thing. He said, listen to all that the people are saying. He said, listen, this is what the Lord said. The Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. I mean, you think about it. You know, we justify quite often, you know, making decisions that really aren't biblical because there's bad leadership. And so you have maybe in your marriage where you're thinking, well, you know, my husband is not leading our marriage right, so it's okay for me to undermine his leadership. It could be your parents. You know, your parents are, you think your parents are doing things right, and so all of a sudden you undermine your parents' leadership in the name of God. You know, maybe it's your apostle over your church gathering and your ministry, and or your pastor, and you start thinking, well, it's not going right. Well, look, when we reject God's form of government, we're rejecting God.
That's right.
When we reject the order of marriage, we're not rejecting. A wife's not rejecting her husband. She's rejecting God. You know, if they're Christians, she's saying, God, I don't want this. You know, you're rejecting, because Samuel was like, oh my goodness, they're rejecting me. And he goes, no, Samuel, they're rejecting me. And so then he says, they've done this all along. He's talking about, as they have done this from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing the very same thing to you. Now listen to them. But warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over you will do. This is very important, because he's saying, listen, warn them. And that's what we know, VFN Radio, we've been warning. If you haven't gone to the prophetic words and dreams and visions that's on the VFN Torch, you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch and begin to read. Listen, these things have happened, are happening, are going to happen. This prophecy that God has laid out for us, given us a warning. And he says very specifically that, so Samuel told the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of the chariots. What does that mean? That you're going to lose your children to this form of government. He'll just take them. You'll lose your children to this form of government. If you make government God, if you want a king, this king that you wanted is going to take your sons and your daughters. Then he says in verse 12, he says, some he will assign to commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. What does that mean? That you're going to be, and it's amazing right now, how our biggest employer is the federal government. Our biggest employer, if it wasn't for the federal government, you know, it would be way more than 23 million people unemployed. So you will come on the government's till. You'll start getting paid, and you will serve under what the king, the former government that you chose, and in some form or fashion, whether you're going to work with IRS or whether you're going to work with, you know, Homeland Security, or whether you're going to be a military soldier, understand, whatever he says is what goes. You know, when we choose, you know, men's form of government. In verse 13, he says, and he will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his attendants. What does that mean? You're going to be taxed. Land's going to be seized. And whatever the whim of the king that you chose, that's what's going to happen. Think about it. And so much people say, oh, I can't believe these taxes are, you know, they got the financial cliff coming up, and they're talking. I said, listen, this ain't nothing. If you chose government to be God, if you're looking to government to be God, realize that, first of all, government's not God, but God's going to give you over to it. And God will say, okay, this is fine. You're going to lose stuff. I'm going to take stuff from you, and you're going to be taxed to the hilt. In verse 16, he says, your men servants and your maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys will he'll take for his own. What does that mean? That you will sit there and watch the government and the government's employees live a better life than you. I think the average payroll for the federal government is around $75,000 or $70,000 a year.
Wow.
They're getting paid the tax dollar. Getting paid tax dollars for that. And he will take, he goes on to say, he will take a tenth of your flocks and your and you yourselves will become his slaves. Isn't that wild? And he says, when the day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer in that day. It's just terrifying. He's like, oh my God, why? Because God is real, and he's offended. When we turn our backs on him and say, you're not good enough, you can't provide for me, I don't like your timing, I don't like your expectations, I don't like your way of doing things. And if we say that, and we turn to men to be able to provide for us, you have to understand that it's not going to be the relationship with God is not going to be the same until we repent and deny that form of government we put in place to be able to take our. And that's about American Constitution. It allows us, I mean, we of all the people on the face of the earth, Americans, are going to have so much to answer for, because we're not under some sort of kingly government. We're not under some monarchy. We're not under some theocracy. We're under the United States Constitution, which is our main. That's what we're made of. That's what that means, Constitution.
No dictatorship.
A supreme law that says it's a government by the people and for the people, and we're the ones that can say, "Hey, we want to look to God and not to government." And more than half of us are saying, "You know, we want to look to government." And then finally, the people respond by saying this, but the people refuse to listen to Samuel. No, exclamation mark. He's like, no, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and to fight our battles. You see, that's what happens. Life takes effort.
Yeah.
You have to actually get involved in life. It doesn't just happen. And sometimes you win battles and sometimes you lose battles. But when the government says, listen, just relax and we'll just put you on the till and you don't have to work and We'll fight your battles for you. Listen, that's exactly what Jezebel says. Mm-hmm. Listen, Ahab, stay in your bed, stay depressed. I'll just give me your ring and I'll handle everything for you. And next thing you know, everything shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Everything shifts. And right now, you know, if in fact that, that as believers, that we need to honor our president and our leaders because of the us Americans, the majority, you know, chose our leader. They made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when they wanted a king, they didn't say, I want Saul. They just said, we want a king like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking around and say, hey, they, you know, we want to have a government like Europe. We want to be and have socialism, which is a roadmap to communism, by the way. You never stop. It just kind of goes right into communism at some particular
right.
point. That, you know, once people start getting their needs met by some other source than God, then it's difficult to get them to turn back to God unless all that comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
All that comes to an end. The best thing that can happen, you know, in regards to the choices that are being made right now is the financial cleft.
Right.
Mm.
It's to start paying. Okay, fine. Because government doesn't make money. Government takes money from Americans and then gives it back out to us. They distribute America's money. And
yeah.
our current leadership wants to redistribute wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will take money from us and give it back to us and mm-hmm. tell us how it needs to be spent. And so, okay, great. The best thing that can happen to us if we choose that is to realize, and that's exactly what God told Israel. He says, fine, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you all your good stuff, all your children. It's going to cost you, you know, you're going to be a servant. You know, they're basically
yeah.
going to tell you what to do. You can't complain about it. If you demanded somebody other than God,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you can't complain when the somebody or the system you chose over God is telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And this is important because, you know, I know that when Jesus, they chose, the disciples were walking out after Jesus' resurrection, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were talking about, you know, we got to stop these guys. And
mm-hmm.
and then they said this, they said very specifically that, you know, if this is not God, it won't last.
Hmm.
But if it is God, you'll find yourself fighting against God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, God has given America what they've asked for.
Mm. Right.
You know, they've given America, God has given America what America's asked for, the majority of America's asked for. And so we need to accept it. We need to honor what God, what's done, and realize, and don't be shocked or realize there's going to be a time of oppression. There's going to be a time of lack. There's going to be a time where, you know, you're being overtaxed and you need to, and let me tell you something. That personally, God always begins stuff in before it hits the world. It seems like God begins to show me some things, and you need to get your house in order. You need to get your business in order. You need to get your ministry in order. You know, there was a day that you could just be lackadaisical, but listen, you know, America's demanded a king, if you would, a government in place of God, and so they're going to step in. They're going to pilfer things. They're going to go through things. They're going to look at things. They're going to look at how you handle your taxes, how you handle a nonprofit status, how you handle your business, and how you handle your payroll. I mean, they're going to, because we said we wanted you to do it,
mm-hmm.
they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just going to do it. You can't complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 93 million Americans that could have voted didn't vote. And 3 to 5 million that voted last election didn't vote this one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is what happened. Not voting is voting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge choice. That's a large number of people that said, hey, government in place of God. So realize that it wouldn't be strange for government to come in and to go through your personal things and to tax you higher than you thought you would and to audit you and do these different things. You know, you need to prepare yourself for it. Don't handle your business like you did when America turned to God. Handle your business like it is when America's turned to government. Because government's going to manage it. They're going to come in. They hire, 16,000 IRS agents?
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of your 1040 forms is probably going to have this next year. It's going to have your health insurance on it and how you're handling that. And just think differently. You know, can we turn from this? Yeah, but, you know, the best, if we want people to know God, we first have to let people eat their consequences. We have to first mm-hmm. let them taste what it's like. Okay, you want this? Then, you know, don't complain. And so we can be a word of knowledge when people are saying, listen, I'm being audited, or they're taking half of my paycheck, you know, for this whole situation.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, as you're saying all of this, just even how the Israelites, God had a way, he had a provision. It was manna, you know, saying he had something for them, but they weren't satisfied. They wanted meat. And while they said, hey, this is what you want? So God says, I'm going to give you what you want. And give them more quail than they know what to do with it.
It was coming out their nose.
They'd come out their nose. And while the meat was still in their mouth, was still in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. And sometimes, don't think just because you got what you wanted that everything was cool with God. He's going to give you what you want, but you're not going to like what you get.
I mean, just proof positive. You're looking at a particular healthy natural food company. Mm-hmm. That made peanut butter and something else of that nature in New Mexico. That this is a brand new law that got passed last year, that the Department of Agriculture, that without going to courts, without going to a judge, just like Egypt's not going to judges anymore, they came in there and they closed down a factory.
Mm.
They closed it down. And they may have a legitimate reason to close it down, but the thing is, you shouldn't have that kind of authority as an agricultural secretary.
Wow.
You know, thank you for wanting to protect us, but don't supersede the supreme law of the land. Go to a judge and file an order to be able to close them down. Well, they passed the law that now. And so listen, you know, this is what we're talking about. When you talk, I'm reading from you in 1 Samuel chapter 8, or chapter 8, that the reason why the Secretary of Agriculture, I believe it was, or whoever, the Food and Drug Administration, that they closed down this huge industry. Land foods or something like that. I can't tell you what it is. I don't have it here. Maybe you guys can find it. But and they were guilty in the past of having salmonella in their peanut butter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they came and inspected this time, it was something like they had doors that were open, they had leaking water, and some other things that kind of gave potential problem. And it's legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is that, you know, you don't have vigilante justice. You go to the courts and say, listen, they present it to the courts. These are going on. And the judge makes a ruling and says, this is, you need to close this factory down. So they go with what the judges say, the judiciary branch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the factory and they say, listen, you got an order from the judge. You got to close this down. They didn't do that.
Right.
They just made a decision. And it sounds just like 1 Samuel chapter 8.
Mm.
And so what does that mean? And there's so many regulations that have been written. Or they're going to tell you, and we're going to be talking about Agenda 21 soon. Agenda 21 is just going to blow your socks off. If you haven't yet, go to UN.com, the United Nations, and type in Agenda 21 so you know when we're talking about it, that it is there, it's been there, and it's part of the GOP beliefs or statement of whatever they stand for, think of the word for it, platform, that they are against Agenda 21, and it's been there for quite some time.
Oh, wow.
And we're just now finding out Agenda 21, because they're bringing the United Nations is being lifted up to a place of authority in the world that Americans should be really concerned about. And we're just helping you out.
Yeah.
And it is totally amazing. And things that just happened to the Lands Food, I think it is Lands Food with, have y'all found that yet?
It's the FDA who shut them down. It's the largest organic peanut butter factory in America.
Yeah, and they make like and it's Lands Food, is it?
I'll find that here for you in a minute.
But you understand, that's huge. When somebody supersedes law enforcement, when they supersede the executive branch, or they supersede the judiciary branch, or they supersede and they're really surpassing Congress. Congress is the only one that makes laws. But now we have the executive branch is actually making laws and enforcing them. But it should be the Congress that makes the laws and the executive branch that enforces the laws and the judiciary branch that interprets the laws. Well, passing all that, the Food and Drug Administration just goes out and closes them down.
Right.
You have to understand, it's like, well, that's good. We didn't want anybody to get sick. Yeah, but what's the big deal about going to the judiciary branch, going to the local judge, presenting your evidence and getting an order from the judge to close down the plant? But listen, like I said, you know, America made a choice. They made a choice, and these are the things we're going to be facing.
Sunland.
Sunland. Sunland's the name of the company. Very large.
It's the largest. I think that what they're saying, they're politicizing what they're doing with this company. I think their mission statement says something to the effect. The mission statement of this company is to monopolize the food chain and eradicate organic food altogether. That's what they're reporting. So it's not an exaggeration to say that they will use their power in Washington to stomp out their competition, especially with the FDA. It's just like, you know.
Wow. But see, whatever their opinion is, even if it's good, it's like you surpassed the Constitution by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what happened to Israel? Isn't that what they said? God said, listen, Samuel, I want you to tell them that if you choose government over God, and if you haven't yet, go to VFN TV, VFNTV.com, and go to VFN TV and watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, and you will understand that that's what was going on. There was a tell. Well, either Samuel, one S stands for Samuel, the O stands for or, and the other one, the S stands for Saul. It's either Samuel or Saul, and America chose Saul. You know, obviously, you know, America chose government. They chose to be like others, and we were a unique nation. We were not like others, and because you know of what we've done, now we're becoming like others. And you're looking at Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Defense, all these different things. They're writing all these regulations that you're going to be so surprised. It's going to be just like God said. Which means this, which is very important. If you're a believer and you're walking with God and you're abiding with God, that just relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've been speaking to people in this culture about the Lord, you know, America's very religious, but right now America's very lost. I mean, America's bound in a lot of different things, you know, and money's is probably the biggest one. And isn't it worth going through some consequences so that they can be saved? Do we love our brothers enough and our sisters enough to go through difficult times with them? Because he says, if you do this, this is what John writes about, if you'll do this, and when you do this, and if you maintain your peace means that you're going to be saved in this. It's not going to be the same for you. Even though you're going through the same difficulties, you have a peace in it, and it'll be a witness to them that somebody says, this is what supernatural will happen, that you're going to be saved, and that by God, and they're going to be destroyed in it. That's what he says.
Yeah.
So we're called to go through difficult circumstances. We're called to do what's right and be told we're wrong. Understand, when you read the outcome of all the disciples and what happened, it wasn't all good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all good, but yet it was.
Right.
It really didn't matter, you know, how it ended up. It mattered what did they do in the moments and in the time. This is time for us to stand up and quit. You know, we shouldn't be whining or complaining. We should prepare ourselves. We should have been good stewards all along anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've made mistakes, you know, you just go, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Be, you know, confront it and begin to do what's right. But these things are going to be so difficult. You're going to need to bring in accountants. You're going to need to bring in lawyers and people that understand these different things that are transitioning. Because we're talking like 1,500 regulations. I don't know how many it is. There's so many Colorado, a friend of mine sent some information from Colorado that said, you know, it didn't matter who won this election coming up. There's so many regulations that have been written that it'll take years to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Think about it. And it's Agenda 21.
Yep.
It's Agenda 21, telling you what to do with every aspect of your life where there's human interference affecting the earth. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't went and watched, you know, SOS on VFN TV, go to VFNTV.com and watch it now. And you also can watch it on your mobile device as well. But you'll understand that America made a choice for government. But realize it wasn't over for Israel, but there's a season of difficulty that they went through. And eventually, remember, after Saul came David, a man after God's own heart. And we can believe and be faithful and wait and say, God, you know, we're sorry for turning to government. You know, we're going to turn to you and we're going to do what's right before the authorities and watch you do what you do as a man after your own heart comes next. We need to know how to act properly before what God is doing, because sometimes, even though it appears wrong, it's what we asked for, and God is establishing something, and we can end up fighting against God. You know, if God's established something, and America has voted and asked for this present form of government, and so we need to relax. We need to read God's word. The 19% that are in reading the word of God, as George Barna says, 19% are reading the word. We need to get in the word of God and realize that even Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God.
That's right.
And there's no God. God allows. He allows. He gives leadership to whoever he wants to over a nation. Over, and he allows things to happen. And so, you know, this, just like, you know, the time when they didn't want Samuel or God, they said they wanted another form of government, he allowed that to happen. Saul got into office because the people turned from God and God gave him, but it was God allowing him. As a matter of fact, though, I mean, it was pretty cool to understand that. He said at the end of Saul's leadership, God said this. Mm-hmm. He said, I regretted the day. I regretted the day that I chose you. And you say, well, wait a minute. Israel chose government over God. But God chose Saul to be over that government. And you have to understand that, because God is totally 100% in control. And he regretted the day that he ever chose Saul. Why? What was the difference in Saul and David? We got to talk about this more in the future. But David is a man who sought the Lord. Neither one of them were perfect, but David would inquire of the Lord. He was an abider. He abided with God. He spent time in his word. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. That's David saying that. David's the one that said, your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. That's David saying that you're my map. You're my GPS. And before things would happen, David would go to God and pray about it, and he wouldn't just take off. He would wait and listen to the answer of God. But Saul just did his own thing. He was fearful. He was fearful of man. He what God gave him, he tried to sustain himself, and he ended up even inquiring of a witch. You know, he went into sorcery and fortune cookies and all this other kind of stuff. Instead of going to God, he started going into another way. And let me tell you something, that somebody did appear. It was Samuel that appeared when they were conjuring up. And so don't mess with that stuff. You don't mess with, just go to God. And the difference between Paul, and listen, Saul and David had the very same prophetic word over them. If you read it, but God said the very same thing over. What does that mean? Is that, yes, God may have said that over you, and tomorrow we'll be talking about, you know, who bewitched you, who cut in you, on you. You're running a good race. So many people define them being right today because they made right decisions yesterday, but the reality is we have to make the decision every day to do what's right before God. If you're what was begun in the spirit, now it ends up in the flesh, means what you're doing now is not God. No matter how legitimate that was, what you were doing in the beginning, you can't keep on riding on yesterday's fate. It's an everyday now. You know, faith is now. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And when you talk to somebody and they're going through all these difficulties and they keep throwing up, but don't you know what I did 2 months ago? Don't you know what I did 6 months ago? So somebody's been on bewitched you, bro. You know, so who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? And because humility, if you're walking in faith, it just creates humility in your life because you're totally dependent on God and what God's going to do. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow. We'll be right back after this break. When God begins to do something, he establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of fact, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously? The very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them.
Right.
You know, and there is hope for America. There is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival, and I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, he so in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying, to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking.
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross, and begin to say, you know what, it's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related, rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill, that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you, and that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ, you know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization, because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement, but you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24/7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to vfntv.com. You can go to vfntv.com and it's there for you. Well, you know, the secret, I want to talk about the secret to marriage. You want to be able to move on, you know, and I know that Pat's just itching to tell us about it. It's Pat's notes, you know, the secret of marriage. And it kind of, this is really explained. If you're thinking about getting married, or if you're in the dilemma of being married and trying to, you say, this doesn't make sense, this is going to be very helpful to you.
Mm.
This is what marriage can be like. There's moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scenario. There's a man. It's a husband. He's reading a newspaper, and he's sitting at the breakfast table. You can imagine that. This probably happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, originally when this was talked about, it was a piece of paper, but now he's probably looking at his iPad.
Yeah, right.
But he's reading the newspaper, and the wife is fixing her husband some oatmeal. And she's in the kitchen with him, obviously, because they're in there, and she's got her back to him. And so all of a sudden, she fixes the oatmeal. She sets it down and turns her back to him. She sets the oatmeal in front of him as he's reading the paper. Mm. And she turns her back to him and begins to wash dishes. All of a sudden, he just kind of pulls down the paper for a second and looks at the oatmeal sitting in front of him that his wife just set down. He says, he looks real close, and he goes, my goodness, there's a fly in my oatmeal. There's a fly in my oatmeal. Mm-hmm. So he tells his wife, you know, whose back is turned to him, says, there's a fly in my oatmeal. And she doesn't look. She doesn't turn around. She just goes, no, there's not. He goes, there's a fly. There is a fly in my oatmeal. And she goes, it's a raisin. Now, she's never turned around and she's never looked. Said, it's a raisin. And he goes, no, there's a fly in my oatmeal. And all of a sudden, the fly just flew off. And then finally, she turns around because he's going, see, look, look, look. And she goes, I'll be doggone, a fly and raisin. Listen, you have to ask yourself, you know, do you want to win the argument or do you want to win your wife's heart?
Mm.
You know, sometimes you can get caught in trying to prove a point, and you say, you know what, get you some more oatmeal, you know, stir the flame if you're looking for protein, you know. But that sometimes we get caught up in trying to prove a point, or just, you know, men have a tendency to think of things logically on the logic side, and women at times could care less about logic, even though they know it. Mm-hmm. They're thinking more of the emotional side of it because that's just how they're designed.
That's right.
And you can logically, if you're trying to communicate to somebody logically when they're saying, what part don't you understand? I'm not bringing logic into this. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be dumbfounded. He's like, what's going on? There has been 15 flies in my oatmeal, and she's called them all raisins. It's like, just relax. Cool. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
You're married.
Get over it.
Get over it. It's totally okay. It's like, just as long as you know that it was a fly, and you might have to find your buddy friends again. It's a fly. Yeah, I had a fly in mine too, man. She called it a raisin. And don't worry, she will actually get with her female friends. It's good. Can you believe that? He was not saying thank you one thing because I put the oatmeal in front of him. He was just reading his paper.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Thank you for joining us in the extra hour. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We just heard, what happens when we choose government over God? Let me tell you something. We can turn, but it doesn't look good. I mean, we saw what happened to the Israelites, and it's just not good. It's just not good. You know, government cannot supply all of our needs.
Right.
Just can't. Only God can. And, you know, America's gotten what they voted for, but in the end, I don't believe America's going to like what they've got. And we can begin to help others turn to God and say, listen, ask a question. Is it working for you? Is it working for you? And many people right now are saying, Don't think this is working for me. In fact, the guy who moved over my cable thing here at the studio, he says, man, do you know that my paycheck has decreased by $400? And I said, oh my
god, wow.
You know what happened? He said, man, it's that Obamacare. He said, I had to get the insurance. He said, I wasn't expecting on it. And I just had to get it. And he says, it's expensive. You know, everything changed, you know, immediately. So wow. I'll tell you, you know, that was his connection and how he responded. But I'll tell you, we can't choose government. We really have to choose God. Well, you know, as we come to the end of the extra hour, I want to talk about Jesus. I mean, he's always so good to talk about. But we're going to talk about Jesus. And I want to talk Jesus as the divider. Yes, you heard correctly. Don't turn off the computer and don't change that app. Jesus the divider. You may be familiar with Jesus as the uniter. But what about Jesus as the divider? I mean, there is a division that Jesus most definitely approves of. In fact, the only division, Pat, Chris, the only division that Jesus approves is dividing anything or anyone that would divide you and his church from him. I'm going to repeat that again. The only division that Jesus approves of is the dividing of anything or anyone that would divide you from the church and from him. I mean, the word divided means to separate into two parts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do separate here, cleave, to cleave it. You know, just to put a little chop in between that thing, and now you have two parts. Mm-hmm. And in Matthew 10, this is Jesus' own words. He says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. In fact, You know, in Luke, he says, do you think that I come to bring peace on earth? No, no, I tell you, but division. But division. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against the father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I love Jesus' words because they're just so real, so authentic, so raw. And he's just telling us right from the start, listen, it's all about me and you. There's nothing that can get in between us. There's no legitimate man-made reason or excuse that would allow anything to divide you from me and me from you. We're called to be together. And Jesus gives us this wonderful privilege of unity, this wonderful privilege of being one, oneness with him. You know, when you think about the word division, the prefix di, D-I, means two. Two. And it's about pulling apart, right? A separation. God is interested in becoming one with us, just like the same unity that he enjoys with the Father. That's an amazing privilege when Jesus Christ wants to be one with you. Now, this is a jealous love. This is a jealous love because he will definitely want to divide and separate those things that would separate and hinder love and hinder unity and hinder this oneness. Now, there's some things that the Lord most definitely wants to divide, and especially even some relationships that the Lord wants to divide and separate from you. I mean, think about it. Relationships seem harmless at first glance, but in the end, this relationship is going to separate you from your walk with God and have a bad influence on you, then God wants to divide it from your life. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. It could be a family members. And we're not talking about divorce here. We're not talking about separating a small child that you're responsible for. Right. You can't divide the child from yourself, okay? That's your responsibility before God. We're not talking about, well, you know what? I want to get rid of my spouse. No, Jesus is not for the separation like that, okay? Mm-hmm. But we're talking about family members, maybe external family members, right? Where there's a separation occurring, that there's influence, and there's people's voices, that the people who've not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, even well-meaning. Let me tell you something, you got to guard, you got to be careful who's speaking in your ear. I mean, if Jesus himself was almost turned in his ministry and was could have been tempted not to go to Jerusalem because of Peter's proximity and what Peter said, is there any relationship that we have that could be potentially, if they're not separating us now, but could have that potential because of what they choose to say, the access that's been given to them can separate you. Think about this, separate you, divide you from Jesus. Jesus has a sword. Mm-hmm. Jesus has a sword. Now, there are mindsets that God wants to divide from you. I mean, think about it. Any mindset that would try to cloud your vision of God, any mindset that would hinder your walk with God, I mean, people get attacked all the time that maybe God doesn't love them. God wants to divide that from your mind, okay? Wrong mindset. Right. Let's get that out. But because they have been so condemned and the enemy has lied to them so much and they feel so unlovable, they even wonder, could God even love me? And God's saying, I love you. I'm going to put a sword in between that. I'm going to divide that thought and separate that thought from you because we're supposed to be united. Let me tell you something. God wants to divide sin from you. Any sin that will take you down, any sin that will pull you away from God, he wants to divide and separate. And when you think about unity and you think about how much God is into unity, think about the unity between a husband and a wife. I mean, there is a unity that God definitely does support and believe in. It's a biblical, Christ-centered unity, right? Mark 10, 6 through 8 says, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. I mean, God, from the onset in biblical marriage, God's saying, listen, you two separate individuals need to form and be forged into one, to be united with each other. No longer two different ideologies, two separate ways of life, that you need to bring this thing together and have unity and be united in your thought, united in your values, united in the things of God, united in how, the culture for your home. You need to be one, because anything divided will fall, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord talks about having a unity amongst the church. There is a unity that the Lord definitely believes in, Christ-centered biblical unity, that the church must be united. How about the unity with the individual believer and with Jesus? Let me tell you something. We were created. We were created to have a personal relationship with God. God is not the man upstairs. God is not your co-pilot. He wants to be your very best friend. I mean, Jesus experienced this unity with the Father. I mean, they were one. They were one. And he desires to have this same unity with us. In fact, 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with him. Right. How amazing to have the opportunity to be one with God. This is a jealous love that God has for us, right? To walk with him in intimacy, to walk with him in truth, to no longer to be divided. The Word of God says that you have been given the mind of Christ, walking in such unity with him that Jesus' own character is being formed in you. To be so united with God that when people see you, they can see the Lord. They can see God all over you.
Yeah.
You know, we know somebody that they just ooze so much love. You just want to go up and say, dude, can you just hold me?
Yeah.
Can you just hold me right now? Would you consider that awkward at this moment? I mean, it's just the love of God on that person's life, the unity they have with the Lord, the oneness, it just permeates off of them. And you're just like, wow, I just feel the love of God. And that's amazing. And that's what happens. That's what happens when Jesus and you become one. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Think about that. And if you want to know what God is or what God is like, all you need to do is look to Jesus. God wants that special place with us. He wants a special place of unity. He wants a special place of connectivity with us, that he's the first thing on our mind in the morning we wake up. He is the last thought on our mind when we go to sleep. that we live with a God consciousness and awareness that He is ever present, that He is aware, and that our whole life's purpose, our whole reason that we exist and go to work and do all the things that we do is to bring Him glory, that we bear fruit, showing, proving that we are His disciple, that we belong to Him, He belongs to us, and that we walk with God. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that if you haven't experienced this oneness with God, you didn't even know that this was possible. I want to tell you, I want to remind you what Jesus has already said in His word. Listen, come to the place of unity. Come to the place where He can be one with you and you can be one with Him and experience the love. Experience what He had with the Father and allow His character to be formed in you, that you can be a channel of His love wherever you go. What the world is waiting for, is for those who love the Lord, those who have accepted the Lord, to allow the Lord to move through them each and every single day. You know, I still think, fellas, that it's still WWJD.
Yeah.
Remember that W? That what would Jesus do?
That's right.
But I think we can change one of the W's. It's not what would Jesus do, because that's thinking about, like, you know, what He would did long ago when He walked the face of the earth, right?
Mm.
Well, Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. He's not on earth, mm-hmm. right? But He lives inside of the believer. How about if we change that to not what would Jesus do, but what will Jesus do? What will I allow Jesus to do through me today? What will you allow Jesus to do through you today? In order for Jesus to move through us, we must decrease and He must increase.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.